T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Showtime!
How y'all feel?
T.T. and y'all! Multi-hostile! Highly motivated!
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. 1, 2, 3.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, second hour, Sports Daily continuing. Shane and Anthony Capper sitting in for Bruce today. What's on Tap is sponsored by Side Pockets, where the Friday lunch special is your choice of quarter-pound hamburger or cheeseburger with fries for $5.95, or a specialty burger with fries for $6.50 today. Mike Kennedy joining us on the Taz Locker Room Hotline. I told you I'd be by myself, Mike, but Anthony's here. Is that a deal breaker? Are we okay?
Even now, even better.
Okay, good. Good. The Twitter.
How are you, Cap?
I'm good, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. Hopefully, I don't let you down here.
No way. No way.
Twitter question today has to do with Burt Reynolds' movie roles, and the bandit Bo Darville is running away with it. I'm being taken to task for not including the original Longest Yard, where he portrayed Paul Crewe. You got any outstanding Burt Reynolds memories, Mike?
Well, you know, as far as favorite movies, I really like that one. Smokey and the Bandit's good, too, but I really liked the original Longest Yard. I thought it was better than the Adam Sandler version, although I thought the Sandler one was fine, too. But that was one of my favorite Burt Reynolds movies. And, of course, one of the memories I have of him, and I suppose most people know this by now, but he was a pretty good college football player, a halfback at Florida State. Just as they were starting to rise to the Division I, kind of some national attention in the 1950s. So, pretty good football player.
Yeah, tore up his knee, and then 2 years later, when he came back, got into a car accident and re-aggravated it and was never the same. And maybe most famously was roommates with Lee Corso from ESPN Game Day fame. Talking to Mike Kennedy on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline, voice of the volleyball team. Of course, they're off to a 4-2 start. We'll get to volleyball here in a second, but the announcement yesterday by the mayor, Mike, you used to be the voice of the Arrows and others. AAA baseball is coming back to Wichita. First of all, your reaction to that, and maybe some recollection and memories of AAA back in the day when you were the voice.
Well, obviously, I hope it's successful because I think that'd be a great thing for the city. I got to hear a little bit of the show yesterday when you guys were talking about some of the pros and cons, and I think you covered the things that, you know, that could pop up that you hope don't come to pass. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited about it. The thing that I remember running into, and I thought it was so strange, you'd run into people that would say, yeah, you know, I don't like it because you get a player that's really good, you get attached to him, and he gets called up to the major leagues. And I thought, but you know, you're seeing a guy that's just that close to the major leagues. You're seeing guys go up and become, you know, major leaguers and even major league stars in some cases. And I thought that was really cool about having Triple A here. Plus, guys coming back, maybe even briefly, that have been in the major leagues and are really good players. It's a very high level of baseball to me. It's not that different than watching the web.com tour here and seeing guys that are on their way to stardom on the PGA Tour or back, playing their way back, and that sort of thing.
Mike, you've been around baseball in this city for a long time, collegially and professionally, and if you can answer this question, everybody will probably bow down to you and want you to run the organization, but if you could pick one thing that they need to focus on or they need to do to ensure sustainable success with professional baseball in this town, what would it be in your mind?
Well, the one thing I learned, and at both levels you mentioned, college and professionally, and I haven't been around the professional game enough lately to know what's the best formula to do this, but one thing you have to do is create it as a habit. Baseball has a lot of games in a season, and in this part of the country, early in the year when the season is starting, you're going to have some bad weather once in a while, but somehow, whether it's through promotions or whatever it may be, getting out and get the community involved, you've got to get people in that routine of coming to your games. And then once you do and the weather gets good, it's just something you do. But I can remember both with the Shockers and with the AAA team that, you know, you'd have some bad weather early, people wouldn't come out, and you'd run into somebody you know is a baseball fan, it'd be June, and they'd say, you know, I haven't even been to a game this year, and that sort of thing. So I think that consistency is really a big thing.
I'm talking to Mike Kennedy, how important do you think local ownership is, quote-unquote, to have your own, like the Wranglers, for example, their ownership was based out of Buffalo, and they weren't around a lot. How important is that?
I think it's very important. I think that, you know, Milt Glickman kept the Arrows here for a long time, even after he wasn't seeing much financial success out of it, because he believed it was good for the community, and he liked being part of all that. He liked going to the games and having Ernie Banks come in from Chicago and sit next to him at games sometimes, those kinds of things. And I think that's really important. I think it's a totally different feel than absentee ownership that's totally in it for the baseball considerations and what they see out of it in the way of profit, as opposed to how it fits in with the entire community.
Shane and I touched on this earlier, and I wanted to get your perspective. How important is it that the affiliate is the Marlins and not as necessarily a local team or a team that people around this area are probably familiar with? And like you mentioned, that, you know, maybe that some of these players come in here and get called up and they can't get familiar with this team. How important is something like that, or how important should it be?
You know, I'm not sure, Cap. I know that, you know, when the Wranglers were associated with the Royals, I don't know if that helped a great deal or not. Maybe it did. I know back in the AAA days, it was the Indians, the Cubs, the Montreal Expos, the Rangers, the Reds. So not that much, you know, local attachment or teams that a lot of fans here necessarily followed. But if the players were good and you had guys that were fun to watch, you could get people out. And I think that might be part of it, is doing some education through the media or whatever with the public about, you know, these are some guys to watch for. These are up-and-coming guys in the organization. If you can make any kind of tie-in that, hey, this guy played against Wichita State,
right,
such and such school or whatever, anything like that you can do to get people familiar with who your players are.
Talking to Mike Kennedy, voice of the Shockers, I feel like maybe, and I just kind of have been thinking about this for the last 24 hours, maybe because it's AAA and because you're one step closer to the big leagues and you will have guys come down here on rehab, maybe after, even after the brand new ballpark effect wears off, maybe that's the star power that Wichita baseball needs, huh, Mike?
Could be, yeah, absolutely. The other thing, I don't know that anybody even does this anymore, and maybe it's not possible, but I know when Denver was a AAA franchise, and that goes back to my days doing the American Association, that was, of course, a big city. They were hopeful of Major League Baseball someday. They knew they had to be successful to draw people. They had to have winning teams and that sort of thing. And they had in their working agreement with whatever club, and it changed a couple of times, that they could themselves hire or sign a couple or three free agents and pay them themselves to kind of bolster the team. And so they'd always have two or three veteran guys that were proven AAA players and even marginal major leaguers that had been around a little bit to supplement the young guys coming up in whatever organization. That may not even be a consideration anymore.
Talking to Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Shockers, volleyball season in full swing. Have you ever seen a six-game run like the one that they've been on as far as the teams that they've played? Stanford and BYU both in the top 10. That was a ridiculous BYU Invitational out there in Provo, and a get-together where they beat West Virginia. But, my God, how good were Stanford and BYU to get to see those guys?
Oh, man. And actually, Stanford was more physically impressive than BYU, but BYU is the better team, at least right now.
Huh.
And but Catherine Plummer for Stanford and Fitzmaurice, the young lady from Kansas City, both 6'6", really powerful physiques, athletic, not great leapers, but, you know, get off the floor okay, but really move around well coordinated, just hit the crap out of it. I mean, really, really physically. And they've got three or four other girls, like in the 6'4 range, that are athletic. Physically, they are terribly impressive. But BYU has two or three 6'4 girls that are pretty darn good, too. And Ronnie Jones-Perry, their left-side hitter, is only 6 feet tall. Not that imposing physically, but jumps out of the gym, just hits the heck out of it, and is so accurate. I mean, whether it's a good set or a bad ball, she finds an opening somewhere. The Shockers finally blocked her once, almost at the end of the match, and she was like 15 kills, one error in 20-some attempts. It's 680-something, and she was amazing. So, and then the other thing about BYU that gets overlooked sometimes in volleyball is defensively, they were diving around quick enough to keep some balls off the floor that would be kills against a lot of people, and then it'd ricochet off of somebody else, and they'd find it a way to get it across the net, and not only keep the point going, but a lot of times within the next, you know, play or two, get the point out of it. That was really impressive about them.
Going to be 14 more days before the Shockers are at home, and not until American play rolls around. Tulane and Memphis on the weekend of September 21st. In the meantime, they'll go to the Blue Jay Invitational, where Iowa State and Creighton looming. Good on Wichita State, Iowa State, and Creighton for doing this multiple years. This is awesome for volleyball fans.
It is. I wish it was continuing. I don't think there's any plan for that right now. It's not scheduled for next year, but they played 2 years ago in Ames, last year in Wichita, this year in Omaha. Three perennial top 25, top 30 caliber teams, which they are again this year. And it'll be another really good test for Wichita State. But honestly, having seen Stanford and BYU last weekend, physically, it's not as imposing a challenge as maybe it has been in some years with those two teams. So we'll see how it goes. This is still a young Shocker team. They're still kind of getting it figured out, but their performance against Stanford was kind of ahead of where I thought they might be at this stage of the season.
The Sweet 16 year when Wichita State went down to Austin and played USC, I took advantage of your other job and got to go down there and watch that and call that match with USC. You're beyond it now, but it was hard for me to not only call volleyball, because volleyball is hard to call, but just, and you talk about the physical nature of these top-tier programs, it was all I could do to talk about USC, because all they seemingly did was throw it up to the ceiling and make blocks impossible because they were coming down at such a steep angle. I'd never seen such athleticism, and you're seeing it now for three weekends in a row.
Yeah, and you know, that's the one thing about women's sports, women's basketball, women's volleyball. A lot of the very best players coming out of high school want to go play for those handful of elite programs, and they'll go sit for a couple of years behind other All-Americans just to do that. And so every year you'll have a handful, half a dozen teams in college volleyball that probably legitimately have a chance to win a national title. Then you've got another 15 or so that could kind of sneak their way in there. And it's the same way in women's basketball. You see 30-point blowouts in the Sweet 16. And mm-hmm. So that's one thing that's kind of too bad. There's getting to be more balance, and there's getting to be a little more parity. But, you see really good teams like Iowa State and Creighton, really, really good teams. And Creighton was an Elite Eight team 2 years ago. But then you see the Stanfords and a couple of those, like you mentioned, USC, and the physicality of those teams is just amazing by comparison.
Saturday at 4, Shockers and Iowa State. Sunday at 2, Shockers and number 14, Creighton at the Blue Jay Invitational. GoShockers.com is where you can hear voices of Shockers. Mike Kennedy call the Shocker volleyball matches. 4-2 on the season. And then the North Texas Challenge, I guess maybe it lightens up a little bit. You tell me. Stephen F. Austin, North Texas, but Cal Poly's down there. So, yeah.
And North Texas and Stephen F. Austin are always good. I mean, not that level, but certainly good competitive team. So,
well, we'll see on the 21st when Tulane comes to town and the Shockers finally get to play in front of the home crowd. Thanks for taking some time, Mike. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Good to talk to you guys.
All right. There goes Mike Kennedy, voice of the Shockers, as the volleyball team 4-2 heading up to the Blue Jay Invitational with Iowa State and Creighton. 869-1240, if you want to talk about anything that we've talked about or anything that we've left out. We've talked a little Burt Reynolds. We've made some picks. We will continue to do so. Anthony, you want to be our celebrity selector in the State Farm picks?
I'm here. I might as well.
Yeah, I might as well. So we got Jim Maddox for State Farm, myself, Anthony, a guest picker. 3-3 was the tops the State Farm picks last week with that Nebraska cancellation. Am I seeing, Andrew, that they may actually make that thing up with Akron?
They're trying to.
So
December 1st.
December 1st. They got a common date then?
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's the championship weekend.
Okay. Championship weekend in both those leagues. Okay. So it may happen. They open up, Nebraska does, against Colorado. The picks, the games that we will pick, and this is for Anthony's benefit here, in case he doesn't know, we'll go Mississippi State and Kansas State. That is a 9.5-point spread. Mississippi State, the 9.5-point road favorite. Let me know if this has been updated or if this is different. KU plus 4.5. I know Lee Sterling had it at 6.
That's what I saw on the sheet, was 6.
Okay, so we can double-check on that one. I still can't believe, at the risk of giving myself away, which I don't care because I did it with Alabama last week, I cannot believe that spread is under double digits. I didn't see Central Michigan play Kentucky, but I don't care, if you know what I mean.
That's one of those ones I like to call a little bit fishy.
That's a sucker bet.
But you never know, I guess.
Feels trappy.
Yeah.
Clemson minus 12.5, taking their show on the road to Texas A&M. Apparently they have an NFL-type defense. That's a large spread to go to A&M and play in front of the 12th man.
Yeah, that's not the easiest place to play at all. And they must have an NFL-style defense to be that favored.
USC getting 4.5 at Stanford. Stanford kind of stumbled around against San Diego State, and USC similar things against UNLV.
Yeah, they were kind of under the weather or whatever you want to call it. They were sluggish.
Bryce Love had like 40 carries for 8 yards or something like that. It wasn't that bad, but it seemed that bad.
Maybe expect him to rebound a little bit. The kind of the Heisman front runner, yeah?
Yeah. Three NFL games, one of them involving your Raiders. Anthony Capra sitting in for Bruce. He's a Raiders guy. Rams giving 4.5 to the Raiders opening weekend. Doesn't seem like very many.
Not very many, and I, as a Raiders fan, I would expect it to be more. But
3.5, the Chiefs will be getting it at Los Angeles against Chargers. Dallas getting 2.5 against Carolina. How are they going to score points if somebody stacks a box on Zeke, for example?
Dak's going to have to be really good with some non-weapons.
Play action, yeah, a little bootleg.
Have to get creative.
Statue of Liberty. All right, so those are the games we'll pick. When we come back, we'll have Jim Maddox on the line for State Farm. State Farm last week, 3-3. Likewise, yours truly, 3-3. Bruce went 2-4. He has his picks. They're already locked in. They look real similar to what I want. So I, because of that, will probably change them because I don't want to be saddled with another 2-5 week, which I feel like Bruce is headed for.
Let's do better.
Easy to talk about him when he's not around, but he'll be back on Monday. Bruce got his picks in. Anthony and I will make ours along with State Farm when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.